In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
Welcome. Glad you're joining us today here on the iSpy Radio Show, where every week we bring you a little more intelligence on big government. Well, it's two full weeks now with the occupier in the White House and no signs of a let-up in their relentless assaults on those who disagree with them. In my opinion, it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. Why? For the simple reason that the left's assault on freedom never stops until one of two things. They attack a freedom that too many people enjoy, or what they do to us happens to them. As I've said many times on this show, especially the last year or so, we are at war with the left. The fight for freedom is an everyday fight, and it is far harder to get a freedom back than to fight to keep it in the first place. We're watching this continuing war of left versus right from the inside. Not in Soviet Russia, not some third world country ruled by a dictator that you get the occasional news blurb about. No, we're right in the thick of it as this American experiment struggles to keep its nose above water with the anchors of socialism tied to its ankles. Because it is also the war of capitalism versus socialism. Capitalism embraces freedom and lack of control because without freedom, you can't pursue your own path to make the most of your life and opportunities as an individual. Without that freedom, you have socialism, where others control your fate, where you don't have individual God-given rights, only the rights someone else allows you to have and which can be rescinded. On today's show, we'll be talking about assaults on liberty, the overreach of big government, some national security issues like where are the upcoming hotspots around the world, the intrusion of big tech into every aspect of your life, including what you thought was a harmless email, as big tech makes itself the all-too-willing vanguard of big government as the left tries to control everything you do, everything you say, and eventually, everything you think. I'd like to welcome Scott McEwen back to the show. He is the co-author of the New York Times best-selling American Sniper and author of his own series of books, including the Sniper Elite series and also Camp Valor. More importantly, he's one of our favorite guests here on iSpy Radio. Scott, it's great to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you, Mark.
Yeah, so being your neighbors to the north, you being down there in California and a frequent recipient of people fleeing California, not to mention our governor basically doing whatever your governor is doing, Oregonians are naturally concerned about what the heck is going on down there. And right now, the effort to recall Governor Newsom, I mean, this has been gaining some steam. Breitbart is reporting that so far there have been 1.3 million signatures, with more coming in every day for the needed 1.5 million to get the recall effort on the ballot. And so it's looking like it's got a good chance of happening. What's your best guess from the talking heads down there in California about Gavin, who's apparently only got like a 46% approval anyway? Is he going to be removed, you think?
I really believe that the recall is going to be effective. You know, obviously you have to get a substantial number more votes than the actual number needed, i.e. 1.5 million in order to, because they're going to throw out a bunch, you know, sure. Which unfortunately Oregon experienced with their attempts to get rid of Comrade Kate. But, you know, being the case, it looks like I heard today that they were at 1.4 million. And importantly, I heard yesterday that his Silicon Valley, San Francisco allies of long standing have turned on him and are donating hundreds of thousands of dollars to the recall campaign effort, which is more people to get ballots signed, more press, more advertising, et cetera. So you're seeing a lot more ads and things of that nature to get rid of Newsom.
So why did Silicon Valley suddenly turn on him?
You know, I think they've had enough of this whole response to the COVID too. It's beginning to hurt their companies. I mean, this whole inability to produce anything in any of their, because there is some production that they do there in the Valley. It's not just, if you will, computer geeks. There is some production that actually takes place, and they're shut down and they've had enough.
Well, I know that some major Silicon Valley corporations have moved out of there, so maybe that's some of it as well. They're just fleeing the state for better tax situations. So far, there's a field of Republicans coming forward to run for governor. One is a former San Diego mayor, has tossed his hat in the ring, and it sounds like he was kind of so-so on supporting Trump. He's reportedly a centrist with lots of experience. Do you know him, and is he someone that D's would end up voting for running a governorship?
Yeah, I do know. I don't know him personally, but I do know of him. I know of his policies. He is a very, let's just say, centrist Republican, if that, leaning more towards the left edge of the party. There's no doubt about it. He may well garner some Democrat votes. I don't know. He's always run, you know, he was always able to get along with the city council in San Diego, which surprisingly to a lot of people is run by the unions. And so you got a real left up center city council here. And, you know, he was able to get along with them pretty well. So, you know, I don't think he's got the charisma to get it done. I think it's going to need some more of a name recognition. And I've heard rumors that Sly Stallone is throwing his hat in the ring.
Well, that'd be interesting. Well, maybe Mitt Romney could move there and because he's got the name recognition, he could probably pull some Democrats over.
He probably should. I mean, you know, the bottom line is he's got a place here in San Diego on the beach, he does. It wouldn't surprise me in the least, but I do think that, a personality, if you will, such as a Arnold Schwarzenegger, which we've seen in the not so distant past, is probably, you know, that's conservative, that's made money, but is not, if you will, anywhere near the right or part of the party. I think he'd have a real shot. I mean, Stallone has got a huge number of huge money. He can finance a run, and he's, you know, while he's not conservative, I think he's got enough business background that he could get some of these guys interested that would otherwise just, you know, hate to vote Republican. I think a Hollywood star would be a very viable candidate.
Well, we certainly have seen that up here in Oregon as well, as somebody with some star power. We had Chris Dudley run, back in the early 2000s, running for governor. Nearly won, but then they surprised us with a whole bunch of votes that just mysteriously appeared in the basement of the Multnomah County Courthouse. But whoever takes over down there in California, they've got a pile of debt that they're going to be facing. Just recently, Newsom had been saying that, the schools are $12 billion to the good. We've got lots of money for the schools. Well, except an audit turned out that they're actually, when you include some, you know, all of the sources, and they're actually in the hole $85 billion. I mean, have you heard much about that? That's astounding.
Yeah, well, you know, Mark, the elephant in the corner, or the 600-pound gorilla, however you want to say it, is always the unfunded pension liabilities in California.
Yes.
We are literally hundreds of billions of dollars short on all these teachers' unions, these other CalPERS, everything else that these guys have not funded. That's what's really going on right now in Washington, D.C., that I think a lot of people have lost their eye on the ball. And what's going on is they're trying to fund these Democrat states that are essentially bankrupt because of Democrat policies. Illinois, California, you know, New York, places like this that have got trillions of unpaid debt they're going to have to cover. And, you know, and the American taxpayer and the rest of the country are going to have to cover these, or apparently they're going to try and get them to cover these things. And it's a travesty of major, major, you know, importance.
Yes. Once again, the responsible people are going to be bailing out the irresponsible people. All right, let's go and take a break there. Exactly. Come back. We'll be talking more with Scott McEwen. Coming up, we'll be talking about some assaults on liberty. And welcome back. We're talking to Scott McEwen. He's a recovering attorney and also co-author of The American Sniper and author of the Sniper Elite series, along with the Camp Valor series. You can find all of his books at the store tab at the iSpyRadio.com website, or head to ScottMcEwen.com as well. And so, Scott, going out of that last break there, we're talking about the massive debt and the bailout that's coming here from the federal government. As far as that goes, do you know if it's possible that states like Texas and some of these other ones that have been running their pension plans just fine and have not, like California and Illinois and Oregon and all of these other lefts. Can they sue the federal government to prevent them from having to bail out California?
You know, I can not think that they have standing on that, but, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if there might be some class action that could do that, I guess, within the Texas. I don't know. I've never seen that unless it affects that state personally. In other words, unless it affects something interstate, they generally don't allow those type of lawsuits, but I am not that adept at that type of law. So I wouldn't say that they could not. I wish they could.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would think that it'll be couched in terms of a taxation thing that probably they don't have the right to do.
Well,
according to Justice Roberts.
Yeah, really? Yeah, well, that's the thing is, you know, you've got these responsible states like Texas and some of these other red states that have been watching their books, and now all of a sudden they're going to be on the hook for somebody else's poor planning and overspending. That it seems like there ought to be something there. We're going to be talking more about the Second Amendment with our next guest, Rob Taylor. But we know that the Biden administration is going to be trying to take away guns and otherwise attack Second Amendment rights. And get this, a New Mexico bill would criminalize parents from teaching their children how to shoot firearms without authorization from state authorities, subjecting them to a $1,000 fine. Authorized in this case means children must be at least 12 years old and must have completed successfully a firearms safety training class. I can't say that I'm a big follower of New Mexico politics, so I don't know whether that's going to pass, but I can't imagine that would hold up under constitutional scrutiny. But, you know, then again, we're in an era when the Constitution just doesn't seem to matter to Democrats. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are twofold. First of all, you know, it amazes me that New Mexico, given it's a western, southwestern state and not that, you know, known for being kind of environmentally open and very tough people, that they would have such left-wing leadership. But we've seen it in the past out of there with that other governor that they had some time ago. So I don't know, you know, I guess Albuquerque runs that state and I don't know who's running there. But long story short, I think that there are a variety of things, Mark, that are about to be passed. Look at what Sheila Jackson Lee is bringing in that bill before Congress, the U.S. Congress, that you have to have a psychological exam to even own a firearm now, or they're going to seize your firearm and things of this nature. I mean, there's going to be so many things that are going to test the Second Amendment with the Supreme Court. It's not even funny. And they're making headlong runs at this. And, you know, I think it's all ultimately surrounded around the fact that they want to pack the court, and if they don't get their way with the court, they're going to threaten the court and they're going to isolate the court, and they're going to do, you know, basically what the left does now, and that is try and diminish anything that disagrees with their positions.
Yeah.
And I think the Supreme Court is the next assault, because I don't think the Supreme Court will allow that, but that being said, they might try and change the whole game.
Getting back to that bill there, you mentioned Albuquerque, and there's this from that article. Albuquerque is the property crime capital of America. If your home or vehicle was broken into and a convicted felon stole your firearm, you could be charged with a crime under that bill. I mean, this is just crazy.
Yeah. It's the world's gone crazy, and I don't even know how long people are going to be able to put up with it, but they have thus far.
Well, and that's why they're, you know, starting to whisper about having re-education camps and all the rest. You know, just to continue that thought there with what you're mentioning there, I really think we're looking at the criminalization of anyone who doesn't bend the knee to Democrats. Aside from banning Trump on socialist media, they are actively attacking anyone who doesn't swear fealty to Biden by disavowing obvious voter fraud. They are labeling Christian conservative groups as domestic terrorists and hate groups. They are attempting to purge conservatives from the military, claiming that they might be disloyal. Funny how there was never any effort to weed out radical Muslims for the military. But what do you make of the left's attempted purge of all opposition? I mean, and how do we start pushing back on that?
Well, I think we have to push back on it every day. And I think programs such as yourself and, you know, and hopefully people like me that vehemently and adamantly disagree with their attempts have to be front and center. I mean, you know, they are trying to take off any opposition voice from any media out there, which I think in and of itself should should disallow any, if you will, federal inability to prosecute them under you know, libel and slander laws, because they are editorializing and mm-hmm. and but that said, we got 2 years now, at least 2 years of these bozos in charge, and there's nothing we can do about those 2 years but hold the line. I mean, every single time there needs to be litigation, every single time we need to have these things taken to court, every single time the Constitution needs to be defended, we just have to defend it. And if we don't, they will steamroll everything they think they can get away with.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you're right. I think we have to start pushing back every day and push back strong every day. But what gets me is we're seeing these Republicans in both the House and the Senate. They're acting like Democrats have these massive majority in both chambers. Did they learn nothing from Trump? You have to stand up to these people. And instead, they are rolling over and playing dead once again.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And, you know, and I was real pleased to see them yesterday when they were trying to get that representative out of Georgia, I believe it was, or, you know, where they were trying to get her thrown off committees. And she said some things that were inappropriate years ago on social media, and she admitted it. They were probably a little bit out there, but no more out there than what we've seen out of Nancy Pelosi and others. That being said, you know, I mean, they pushed back and they said, no, we're not going to do that. And you're not going to control who we choose to be on our committees. And, you know, and I was very pleased to see that some spine being grown, you know, by the Republican minority leader in the House. And so, you know, McCarthy did a good job there. And I think that McCarthy, you know, will stand and will not agree to this. And, you know, look, right now, look at it. He is governing by edict. He is doing executive orders and things of that nature. They haven't passed anything other than their ability or their attempt to get this new $2 trillion of taxpayer money. And there's going to be payback, Mark. There's going to be a point in time when people are going to say, look, is that really what we want? Yeah. Is that really what we want, is him signing his executive orders to pay back all of his fringe groups, which is essentially what he's done for the first 30 days of this presidency.
Absolutely. And I think there is going to be pushback. I think you're right on that, because we just look, all we have to do is look back at 2010. The Democrats did have strong majorities in both House and Senate, and they passed Obamacare and a whole bunch of other trash. And then we retook the House in 2010. I look forward to doing that in 2022. All right, Todd, let's go ahead and take a break. Coming back, we're going to be talking some international issues with Scott McEwen. Stay with us. And welcome back. We're talking to Scott McEwen. He is the co-author of the New York Times bestselling American Sniper and also author of his own series of books, including the Sniper Elite series and Camp Valor as well. I highly recommend both of those series. And Scott, you've got a new book coming out that we'll have to have you back on and talk about a little more in depth, but it's Hell Week and Beyond, The Making of a Navy SEAL. Just give us a quick 30 seconds or so on that one.
You know, I wanted to try and describe exactly what it takes from what all these men that I've known that have become SEALs and why they become what they are, and the 6 inches of real estate between their ears that basically make them the toughest men on earth. And that's really what Hell Week and Beyond is about, with humor and with some of the best anecdotes I've ever heard from guys that are literally the toughest men on earth. And that's what that book is about.
Well, we will definitely have to have you back on that one probably towards the end of April or so. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about some international issues, because, you know, you're a big military advocate. You've got a lot of contacts out there. I know that you pay attention to these. In fact, you worked with an author, Ephraim Matos, with the Burma Free Rangers. And so you've got a lot of experience on this. If you had to lay a bet on it right now, what would you put on the likelihood of Israel taking out Iran's nuclear facilities?
Way above 70%. I don't see, particularly in light of the fact that this administration is basically letting these guys run wild. There's no doubt that they are refining their nuclear isotopes right now to make a weapon. And I don't see that Israel has much of a choice, given the fact that all of the sanctions, all of the pressure that was put on Iran to stop has now been taken off. Everybody's been put on notice. They're actually budgeting the war, if you will, in Israel right now. They realize they're going to have to do it alone, and they realize they're not going to have any help from the United States in all likelihood, given this administration. So it's a very tenuous situation.
Mm. Rather worrisome to think about, too, for sure. And then, of course, all of what that does to the Mideast peace deals that we've seen under Trump and whatnot, it's going to be amazing to see the fallout from that.
Yeah, well, I think every one of those Middle East peace deals almost wrote that in. I mean, let's face it, a lot of those people over there were worried about Iran. All of the deals that were made were with countries that are all worried about Iran and their influence and their terrorism and all the things they've pulled over there in the sandbox. So, I mean, I expect a coalition that does not only include Israel to hit Iran. And I mean, they're probably going to get the green light to fly across whatever borders they want to get to Iran.
Mm. Well, that's going to be, like I said, it's going to be very worrisome and also interesting to watch that how that all pans out. So largely flying under the radar, after a brief mention in the mainstream media on Monday, there was a military coup in Myanmar, also known as Burma, due to what the military alleges was illegal voting and widespread voter fraud. The military over there in Burma sees itself as the ultimate defender of Myanmar's constitution. The election was a landslide victory for the National League for Democracy Party. And the panel that was appointed by the federal government, golly gee, found no evidence of voter fraud. I mean, how amazing is that? The military then seized power on Monday and detained the elected president and announced it would oversee new, fair and free elections. So what can you tell us about Burma and what's going on there?
The government has really been in control of that country in large part for a substantial period of time, while not, if you will, doing a complete coup d'etat like they've done now. So, you know, I've got friends that live on the Thai border with Burma or Myanmar, that's now called, that deal with the ethnic minorities that are being deposed and thrown out of that country. And the military's been hunting them down like dogs and killing them for 30 years. I mean, literally. And it's just gotten worse. I've heard reports from Burma, from my contacts there, that say that there's tens, if not hundreds of thousands of refugees that are pouring across the Thai border right now.
Mm. It's interesting to see what the military is alleging. They're saying that they had found 8.6 million irregularities in voter lists in 314 townships that could have allowed people to vote multiple times. And yet the election commission declared, gosh, there was no evidence for any of that. So it's kind of a crazy situation there. I really don't know much about Burma, but this is apparently not the first time there's been major allegations of voter fraud. Back in 2010, when they first held elections, I think in it was like 50 some years, 60 maybe, since they had held elections, there was allegations of widespread voter fraud then, and they were ignored.
Well, Burma is a third world country, and unfortunately, I see United States moving more in that direction than them and ours.
Yeah, absolutely. So looking ahead, what, and based on your sources that you have out there, what are some areas of conflict coming up that you potentially see, maybe especially North Korea?
Yeah, well, I have not heard anything other than, you know, I saw that Kim was said that Biden is a rabid dog or something like that the other day, some epithet, but I haven't heard of any military, if you will, movement from there. You know, I think that as long as Biden is cozy with the Chinese and lets them have what they want in the South China Sea, that they may keep that dog in a leash. I mean, I don't know what kind of deals are being cut between Biden and the Chinese right now. And I don't know that there is deals being cut, but I'll tell you right now, our biggest threats out there are obviously the Chinese and the North Koreans, yes, and then followed closely behind by the Iran. But, you know, I see all of these becoming real problematic over the near term. I think that we had an era of strength, and we did a good job with it. And I think people are going to appreciate the fact that Donald Trump did a pretty damn good job of international politics, if not the best we've seen in 20 years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think if I lived in Hong Kong or especially in Taiwan right now, I'd be really quite concerned.
Yeah, for sure. Because he's going to let him have, it looks like he's going to let him have a full leash to do whatever they want. And you know, and I mean this, and I don't mean this conspiratorially, Mark. I mean this. God knows what they got on the Bidens.
Oh, absolutely. No, I absolutely agree. I mean, if you just thumb through some of what was on Hunter Biden's laptop, it's horrifying. And if Rudy Giuliani has that, you know for certain China has that. Unfortunately, sure. Scott, we're up against the clock. I want to thank you so much for your time. We look forward to talking to you again at the end of April to discuss your new book.
Thank you very much. You guys keep it going up there. One of these days you're going to get Kate out of office.
Oh, your lips to God's ears. KWRO is in Coos County, airing out of Coos Bay, and here we are at, and we here at iSpy Radio are proud to air on it on Saturdays 7 to 8 p.m., but on Mondays on KWRO 3 to 6 p.m., you can catch the Rob Taylor Report, and I'd like to welcome the host of that show, Rob Taylor. Rob, it's great to talk to you.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You know, the foundation of America is about differing viewpoints, but finding ways to work together. We had Protestants come here to America in the Plymouth colonies, the Quakers to Pennsylvania, Catholics came to the Carolinas when England turned on them. Now big tech is actively censoring anyone who has dissenting viewpoints. MailChimp is an automated email and marketing platform which happily used conservative grassroots to grow its business. I know a number of grassroots organizations here in Oregon that use that. But now that's changed. You sent out an email recently saying that MailChimp had suspended your account for adding a link to the Patriot Prayer website in your newsletter. They sent you a disclaimer that the link was unacceptable content and they suspended your account after a dozen years of use. I mean, this is outrageous. It seems pretty unbelievable that a link in a newsletter can get you booted. What exactly were they objecting to over the Patriot Prayer group? Were they seeing them as terrorists or something?
That's the odd part about all of this. I have been suspended on Facebook. I've had that suspension release just recently. But the one with the MailChimp, I have used them for 12 years, like you said. And I have put a lot of controversial websites on there. I put a lot of controversial statements, nothing that was racist, nothing that was fascist, nothing that was targeting any individual specifically. It was just opinion, and I think people should be allowed to their opinion. And so I didn't think anything of it when just a couple of weeks ago I decided to have Joey Gibson from Patriot Prayer on the show. And I announced that every week in my newsletter that goes out on MailChimp. And so I put the link into the newsletter. I sent the newsletter out, and it never left. It never went out. I immediately got a notice saying that the omnivore program or omnivore, whatever it is, some type of algorithm that they use, have detected unacceptable content in my newsletter, and they're not only going to not send the newsletter out, they suspended my account permanently. And when I tried to get them to tell me specifically what it was that was either the problem with the Patriot Prayer or the problem with me putting a link to Patriot Prayer, give me at least some specifics why that information would be excluded and I would be punished for it, because I had no clue. And so after 12 years, and like you said, I and many conservatives have helped build up MailChimp. After we've done this all these years, and I guarantee you they use our email list and all the emails that we bring to this company, we've benefited them. And without no excuse, with no explanation, they destroyed my account.
Well, and I'm sure that they've been actively data mining your emails and your email list, and they probably sell those email lists to somebody else and whatnot. I mean, it's astonishing to hear this. I'm not too terribly surprised. I was banned recently, after about 5 days after the election. I was banned on Twitter because I had sent out a tweet about other people being suspended from Twitter for tweeting out about Benford's Law. And I included a link to a pro-democracy site run by a Chinese national. You know, he's one of the Hong Kong movements. And bam, they immediately terminated that tweet and said I couldn't tweet anymore until I removed that offending tweet. It's astonishing that the left is doing this, that you must believe what we believe. I mean, in fact, a Christian group was recently removed from Twitter because they were anti-transgender, because apparently scientific fact is considered hate speech now, I guess.
Well, and the fact is that if you're religious and you're a Christian, and by the way, I'm not a Christian, I'm not religious, but I defend them fiercely. I've got two dear old Irish Catholic grandmothers who I, if anyone ever tried to deny them their right to pray or to their religion, you've got a fight coming on your hands. So I'm someone who supports the freedom of religion, and people have a right to believe that homosexuality and transgenderism and all of those practices that they believe are deviant to normal sexual relations between a man and a woman, they have a right to believe that. And I've seen a lot of groups who have been religious groups who have been kicked off the computer or off of social media because they have those beliefs, which is ironic because they don't do it to the Islamic groups who believe even more fervently that marriage should between a man and a woman.
Well, and I absolutely agree with you, is that people have a right to their opinions. They have a right to their beliefs. And for these leftist groups to think that they have a right to change your beliefs, that's just absurd. In the same email that you say that the far left groups, in that same email about the MailChimp, you say that far left groups are trying to shut down your radio show and asking people to boycott your advertisers. Was that at all possibly connected, do you think, between the two, or are they just happened to have happened closely together?
Yes and no. Here's what's going on. You have the top leadership, the top echelon to the Democratic Party, who are sitting up there putting out the message, we all must get along, we all must come together, we all must be one nation, while simultaneously in the same breath they're saying they're going to come after anyone who they deem as domestic terrorists because they have conservative beliefs. And so that message, that dribbles down to their underlings and to groups that are not just in the States, but who are here locally in Coos County, and they pick up on this message. And so they take the mantle of, we got to carry on with cancel culture. So it's not a direct order, but yes, it is, because it's being told to them without being given to them as an order. So it's not a direct order, but they get the message. And so that message has been carried out across the state into groups, especially here in Coos County, that who are leftists, who are part of Antifa. We have an actual local Antifa group who are active. They don't call themselves Antifa publicly. They only call themselves that privately on their website group. And so they decided to take on the mantle of finding somebody that they hate. And this is what something Trump has been saying on his show as president. The only thing that stands between the left and us is Trump. Well, Trump's gone. So now they have to find the devil everywhere. And I'm one of those devils here locally that they can go after. And they want to go after me and another gentleman who has also a political talk show here in and on KWRO. That's Rob from Base and Tackle. And because we have had professionals who've spoken out against transgenderism, against critical race theory, and all the things that they pride, they've contacted the radio station. They've had people call into the radio station. They have had people call into my sponsors. And here's the irony of this. I'm more libertarian than a conservative, and one of my main sponsors is a marijuana dispensary, and they're going after this marijuana dispensary when this marijuana dispensary was fighting for their right to exist just a couple of years ago. Wow. So it's kind of ironic that they're even willing to go after their own if their own does anything that's out of line or is supportive of anyone who they consider right-wing extremists.
Wow.
And the thing, they got the scale of right and left. Left communism, right is fascism. That's not how government works. It's either you have collectivism on the left, which is fascism, socialism, communism, and things like that, or you've got the right, which is no government at all, anarchy.
That's right.
And somewhere between the collectivist and the anarchist are supposed to be Americans who want a limited government, the evil collective that's necessary. Even our founding fathers said it's necessary. We have to have this collective, but that collective should only have one goal: to protect the rights of the individual.
That's right.
And the individual is the largest minority in the planet, period.
Yep, that's exactly right. And yet we are verging very quickly into the Gestapo culture. All right, let's go ahead and take a break, come back. We'll talk some more about what's happening here in Oregon with the Second Amendment being under assault. Stay with us. And welcome back. The Rob Taylor Report airs Mondays 3 to 6 p.m. on KWRO in Coos Bay as one of the stations that also airs the iSpy radio show. Rob is a longtime voice in the conservative grassroots and a huge Second Amendment advocate and has led the charge for Second Amendment sanctuary status that a number of counties around Oregon have passed. And so, Rob, let's talk about what's going on here in Oregon with the Second Amendment. The right to keep and bear arms is constantly under attack. Our founders knew that the best path to tyranny is to actually take away guns from people. In fact, you know, I really can't think of any tyrant that hasn't disarmed people that they end up ruling. Can you?
No, not at all. And you can look as recently as Venezuela. Only did they take away guns from the enemies of the state, but they armed the people who were their supporters.
Yeah. Just like England back in the days of King Charles. So Second Amendment is critical for a free country. What is going on here in Oregon? What are some of the bills that you're seeing that are really threatening to the Second Amendment?
One of the bills that I'm focusing on mainly, and it's one that I wrote an article in the Northwestern Observer, was one that's been put out by our good friend Floyd Prezansky, Senator Floyd Prezansky and Senator James Manning, and it's Senate Bill 396. And 396 is going to decimate the part of the firearm industry that manufactures and sells the undocumented receivers and lowers. Those are the parts of the gun that you need to assemble a complete rifle. Now, what it's going to do is that gun enthusiasts and hobbyists and people who want to keep their anonymity because they want to be able to own a gun and not have the government know about it, they're going to be forced to go and register these guns if SB 396 is enacted, and there's a very good chance that it is enacted. And I can tell you, Americans, we like keeping our anonymity. We don't want the government knowing how many guns there are, because if they know how many we have, then they know how many to take away from us when they come to confiscate them. And what SB 396 does is, first, it puts a definition on the guns, and these types of guns that I'm talking about are the ghost guns, but they're actually called undetectable firearms, untraceable firearms, and then they're also adding in the unfinished frames and receivers. That's the lower and the upper part of the guns that people use, that they get from the manufacturers, and these are unfinished pieces. So people use these pieces to assemble rifles and even handguns that, like I said, are not even known to be in existence by the federal government. And Americans, we've had a long history of this. This is what we did when the English set the arms embargo in 1775 to make sure that they were going to be able to disarm the patriots of the revolution. And so they went out and they created their own gunsmiths, and they created the hobby of gunsmithing here in America that has flourished. But if this bill, SB 396, is enacted, if anyone who manufactures, imports, sells, or transfers an undetectable firearm could receive a maximum of 10 years in prison or a $250,000 fine. Anyone in possession of an undetectable firearm could receive 364 days in prison, a fine of $6,250, or both. And anyone who manufactures, imports, possesses, sells, or transfers an untraceable firearm could receive a maximum of 10 years in prison and a fine of $250,000. Then they got some special caveats in there that says that anyone who has one of these lowers or unmarked guns, just having it and owning it could land you in jail, and it could be a year in jail and up to a $6,000 fine.
That's kind of an interesting approach, that they're attacking different parts of a gun. It's like saying, well, you can totally have a gun, you just can't have the barrel to it. Is this a new line of attack that the left is using? Yeah. Is this a new line of attack? Is this a new line of attack that the left is going after? Is they're going to start going after the individual components of a gun?
Oh, absolutely. And they specifically want these guns because they're not registered. And most of the guns in America are not registered, and due to the part that a lot of guns are handed down, a lot of people get guns who were purchased in the era by their grandfathers or the great-grandfathers when they weren't recorded or they weren't registered with the government. So the majority of guns out there are not registered. So what they want to do is get all those guns that have been passed down and all the guns that have been made through these these receivers and other parts, and they want to get all these guns on the books. And everyone who understands history knows once they get the guns on the books, those are what they're going to come and take away when they start confiscation.
Absolutely.
Or buyback. Yeah. That's what they're going to say, buyback.
Yeah, absolutely. It then sets the legal precedent to go after other types of guns as well. All right, let's go ahead and take a break there. We'll have more with Rob Taylor. Our rights are under assault. Stay with us. And welcome back on our final segment here on the iSpy Radio Show, talking today to Rob Taylor. He's the host of the Rob Taylor Report, which airs Mondays 3 to 6 p.m. in Coos County on KWRO, which we are also proud to be on. So, Rob, we were talking there in the last segment about the Second Amendment and how they're attacking the different components of a gun. That's a novel way to go after gun rights here. But in addition to that, I have noticed a lot of people talking about their inability to get ammunition. They're saying that manufacturers are just out. I mean, is there anything going on there? Is it a matter of just supply and demand? Everyone's buying and manufacturers can't keep up? Or is there something else afoot?
Well, here's the irony of that whole thing. As far as I know, it's not a government conspiracy. What has happened is that there are now almost 2 million new gun owners. And I forget how many new guns have been sold in the last year due to the riots that have been happening in the streets and due to the COVID pandemic. All of this has contributed to a blossoming new purchasing of guns. And so when you buy guns, the first thing you do are going to buy a bunch of ammo. So then you compound that with all the old gun owners buying lots of ammo because of the pandemic, the shutdowns and the riots. And I mean, everyone I know has a garage full of ammo right now. And so that, between that and the gun owners, the new gun owners, the manufacturers just cannot keep up with the demand, and they just can't keep up with the supply. And I've talked to several of the manufacturers, and they said they are at capacity of being able to produce ammunition. And they know that at a certain point, this is all going to go away for them because, you know, the demand isn't going to be there because we're going to get over this hurdle and time will smooth out, hopefully, in the future. And so they predict that you'll see more boxes on the shelf, but they can only produce as much as they can produce.
So another thing that you're very involved with is the Second Amendment sanctuary ordinances, and you've gotten these passed in several counties around Oregon. I know that you've got one active right now in Lane County. Talk to us, talk to our audience a little bit about what the sanctuary ordinance is and also what's going on there in Lane County.
Yes, it's based on the anti-commandeering principle, which goes down to back to our founding, where a city or a county or even the state using state rights could tell the federal government, and in this case, it's a county or a city telling the state and federal government that the county government will not use its resources to uphold unconstitutional gun laws that violate our Second Amendment rights. And I would say almost every single one of the gun bills that are in Salem right now, all of them violate our rights because we have a right to bear arms without it being infringed. And so the counties can just say, look, we're only going to use our resources on laws that actually protect the rights of the people. And so we have gone ahead and we drafted a law which gives a directive to the county that states that you will only allow you will not allow those resources or manpower from any agency of the county to be used to uphold state or federal gun laws, which gives a little bit of protection to county members. And it also is unique because it puts a penalty on any county agency or any person in the county who violates that law. It's a Class A misdemeanor if you violate it, and you could face up to a $2,000 fine. So if a sheriff deputy goes out and, say, SB 396 gets passed, and they go out and they start collecting up unregistered guns, well, they would be liable to the county law, which states that they can't violate our Second Amendment rights. So it gives us a little bit of extra legal protection, and it also sends a message to the state legislature that we're not going to put up with it anymore. And I've got four of them on the ballot in 2020. Two of them were passed, one in Columbia County, and one, get this, in Clackamas County.
Wow.
But right now, I have an active petition in Lane County. We've got over 12,000 signatures, and one of the coolest people I know, Misty Fox, is the chief petitioner there in Lane County, and anyone who wants to sign that petition can download it from our website at sanctuaryordinance.com. That's sanctuaryordinance.com, and all you have to do is click on the little tab that says Lane County, and it will tell you the rest to do.
So if somebody in a county that doesn't have this right now, is that also the place they'd go to find out more information about how they could get this passed in their county?
Yes, absolutely. Any county that has an ordinance or has an active petition will be listed on that website, sanctuaryordinance.com.
We only got about a minute here with you. The gas pipe that has been killed there that was going to go into Coos Bay, what's been the reaction by the people there?
It's mixed. I would say about 45% of the people were against it. Probably about 55% of the people were for it. And so there are a lot of people who are breathing a sigh of relief because they didn't want to see the bay torn up and destroyed what they thought was destroyed by this infrastructure project. I support the market. I don't support any individual business. And if the market demands it, I think we should have an LNG. My only problem with it was the taxing structure and the eminent domain. Mm-hmm. But all of those problems could have been fixed if we didn't have such very rigid and regimental environmental laws that requires a study every time you change the route. So part of that eminent domain was caused by the environmental laws, but it's not going to probably happen due to the fact that our president is anti-fossil fuel. He's anti-petroleum. And I just, it came out the day the president wasn't president anymore on January 20th. The notice came out from the Department of Interior that they were going to cancel the permit for that project based on what the state has said about the environmental quality.
Yeah, it's crazy that the same people that think the bay would be destroyed by a pipeline would probably be perfectly okay if they slapped up solar and wind power everywhere. Unfortunately, we're up against the clock. Rob, I want to thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And just a quick reminder, you can find Scott McEwen's books at scottmcewen.com. Rob's Second Amendment Sanctuary site is sanctuaryordinance.com. And if you didn't scribble those down fast enough, head to iSpyRadio.com and we'll have those on today's show page. Do check those out because, as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.